college football, and more. Barrett Salee, our weekly visit with Barrett, national college football writer with CBSSports.com. He's also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. Barrett, always a pleasure. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Johnny. Any word on the Big Ten? No? Okay.
Well, that kind of broke over the weekend that they're having the conversation. Sunday, they had like a marathon of presentations, looking at it from a health standpoint. You know, what's the biggest issue do you think that they're having debate right now, besides saving face, on moving forward at this point?
Saving face is really the only reason. They're in CYA mode. And I think it's embarrassing for them to have to go through this process knowing that really their best laid plans got blown up in their face. They thought they could lead. They didn't. They had a lack of self-awareness. And as a result, they're trying to find ways to explain away why, how 15-minute turnaround testing completely changes everything that they decided back on August 6th, when even then we knew these things were coming. And they're just trying to find a way to make that sound like a reasonable excuse to change their minds. And it's ridiculous. It's so embarrassing for that entire conference, the presidents, the leadership. It goes to show just the arrogance that has existed in that conference for so long. It really is remarkable. It goes to show you how out of touch they are.
You know, it's really strange. You know, we had the preseason rankings, and which included the conferences, Pac-12, Big Ten, not playing. But now after the first week, you do away with them. And so only teams that you're including now, if you're talking about the AP poll or the coaches poll, are the ones that are actually playing football right now. And it's strange to look at the top 25 this week and see teams like Louisiana Lafayette, BYU, Appalachian State, Kentucky, I mean, Memphis. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. It's almost like you're looking at a basketball poll.
Yeah, it's truly bizarre because you saw a lot of teams that didn't even play get into the top 25, which is fine. You know, this is the way it's going to be. I think the ridiculous part was the AP releasing a poll with all 130 teams as opposed to 76 or whatever we're at right now. So this is where it's going to be. You're going to see teams get ranked like Louisiana that haven't been ranked in a very long time. Although Louisiana might deserve it after what they did on Saturday, but that's just the way it's going to be. You're going to see teams jump up and be rewarded for upset victories, and I'm here for it. I think it's going to be fun. I think having a season that is disjointed, even if there's an asterisk next to you getting ranked in the top 15 or whatever, it's fine with me. I'm excited for those schools to get the recognition that really they might have deserved a long time ago, but are getting in this strange, bizarre season.
Speaking of bizarre, I mean, you know, Oklahoma, Texas took care of business as far as Big 12 teams were concerned, but there was nothing big by the performances of some of those other representatives from the Big 12 over the weekend.
No, it really goes to show that the beefy middle of the Big 12 is not, it might be a veggie burger and not Angus beef, because it's bad. It was bad. And I think the most concerning part was really in the trenches. They got whipped. All of those teams got whipped. And so I don't necessarily think it's going to have long-term effects because, like you said, Texas and Oklahoma were fine. In reality, the Big 12 champion is probably getting into the playoff regardless. And so, you know, long-term, it's not going to make that big of an impact. But short-term, it's embarrassing. And to have a guy like Matt Campbell basically quit, that's surprising. Like, that's really surprising. To have a coach like Chris Klieman not be able to orchestrate any kind of running game when that's your identity, it does not bode well for the middle of that conference having any shot of reaching the Texas or Oklahoma level. And, you know, maybe Oklahoma State's in that mix too. We haven't seen them play, but I was stunned at how ill-prepared those – I'm not stunned about Kansas because Les Miles is a very good coach now, but I was very surprised at how ill-prepared Iowa State and Kansas State were, especially Iowa State. I expected more from Matt Campbell.
You know, for the teams that are not from the three Power Five conferences that are playing right now, is there one team that, like, don't sleep on them? Like, is it maybe, could it be Army? Is it a Central Florida, Memphis? Which team has a chance to be maybe a spoiler and who knows, maybe even find itself in the college football playoff?
You know, I think UCF probably is the easy answer, but I'm going to go with Louisiana. And the reason I say that is they've got Duke. Like, they've got really good players, especially in the trenches. Quarterback seemed like he was ready to go. They're well coached. They're tough. They're in shape, clearly. I'm going to go with Louisiana because, granted, we haven't really seen Appalachian. They played Charlotte. They won, whatever. But, and they're the class, really, of the entire group of five over the last 5 years. They've got the best record, I believe. But I just think Louisiana has the ability to continue to do what it did on Saturday in Ames. I don't think it was an aberration. I think that defensively they've absolutely got the bodies. They're well coached. I'm going to go with Louisiana. And part of that might just be because I think the AAC, where UCF is, it might be a little bit more tricky than folks realize. And UCF, especially with 10 guys gone, opting out, might not have that depth that it might need to consistently get through a gauntlet that I think is, at least by this year's standards, pretty tough.
Well, here's the thing. Appalachian State, I had Charlotte, which was supposed to kick off the season. You know, when you look at Tennessee, that was supposed to be Tennessee's opening opponent. And Will Healy, the former coach at Austin Peay, I thought he was going to have Charlotte well prepared to take on Tennessee, where the Vols, if they weren't looking ahead to Oklahoma, they may have found a situation where, similar to what we saw last year with Georgia State. So I'm going to give thumbs up to Appalachian State. Charlotte, to me, is a very tough team, a lot tougher than most people realize. And so the fact that they were able to pull away at the end and win by double digits, thumbs up right there. So I'm actually going to give them more of a benefit of the doubt than most folks will, only because they see Charlotte and they go, oh, no big deal.
Yeah, you know, I tend to agree with you. And really, I think Charlotte's one of those teams that when you look at their future, pretty fertile recruiting ground, had some success, went to a bowl last year. And moving forward, I think they can have the kind of long-term success that maybe South Florida had when it first became an FBS program, where Appalachian State, when they first became an FBS program, sort of this Georgia Southern, same thing, quick rise to be, you know, at least competitive. They did it last year, obviously with Will Healy, and I think the foundation that it set with him in a market with a base like they have in the greater Charlotte, you know, North Carolina and then South Carolina area, I think it's definitely got a chance to be a good program.
Now, you have to go all the way back to after Tennessee lost to Alabama just past the midway point of 2016 for them to be ranked as high as they are right now, and they've not even played a game. In the AP poll, they're now in the 15th spot, moving up 10. And they were unranked in the coaches' poll in the preseason, and they find themselves ranked 17th this week. It's been a while since they've been ranked this high.
Yeah, and I think in both of those polls, I believe in the AP, they were first out when they had everybody ranked. So, you know, it's not surprising they move up. That's just kind of the way, you know, things have to be. But it goes to show, I think, the respect that Jeremy Pruitt earned in year two, even though it did not start out well. The fact that you played Alabama close and then won six straight games and the defense was stout and you have a ton of experience returning, especially on offense, all those things together just sort of, I think, bode well. And I think voters, especially coaches, because, you know, we all make fun of the coaches poll being the SID poll, but I actually know a lot of coaches that actually do vote in that. They respect and understand how important it was for Pruitt to overcome that adversity and how important it is this year to have the kind of experience that he has coming back. So, yeah, it's good for Tennessee, even if it's, again, even if it includes an asterisk, it's still really cool to see them in that top 25, a place where I think at the end of the season they were going to end up regardless, but I don't think anybody expected it to happen this soon.
What is your what was your take as far as Georgia Tech at Florida State, both from a Georgia Tech perspective with that win? You know, they were trailing 10-0. They certainly took full advantage of the fact that the momentum was thrown out the window with the delay as far as the weather delay, but also a Florida State team, you know, showing what we've seen out of them over the past 2 years, where second half just not being able to finish ball games, and this trend continued on Saturday with Mike Norvell's group.
Yeah, I think with Georgia Tech, it was so great to see Jeff Collins get that win, because the turnaround he's got to orchestrate is going to be impossible. It's not impossible. It's just going to take a long time, especially considering the offseason that we had, him not being able to get to work with his guys. But for him to have that kind of success, it shows how well-coached that team is. Sims, their quarterback, Jeff Sims, a highly touted kid with a Florida State commit. For him to have, you know, that kind of game in his first game ever, really impressed, especially considering the two picks he threw were in the red zone. He moved them down there on those two drives, too. So the future is very bright for Georgia Tech. And I think for Florida State, the culture problem is just, it's just going to take a long time to fix. You know, I think it's one thing to have players who just for whatever reason split apart in the middle of the season, where you have an Auburn 2012 where they go, 0-8 in the SEC, or TCU the following year where they go 4-8, overall. Those are one-year things, but I think the murmuring and this frustration during Fisher's last year there really has carried over to Willie Taggart's era and now Mike Norvell. Not to say Willie Taggart didn't deserve to be fired. He did, because the organizational aspect of that program was just bonkers. But it really was derailed. And I think when you look at a team like that, a program like that, with players who are going in 85 different directions, sometimes you can turn that culture around quickly. Other times, you basically have to have all that personnel filtered through before you can successfully approach it, and I think that's what's wrong with Florida State right now. And you know, Mike Norvell, I think he's a good coach. I think he will be good for them, but he's got his work cut out. There's no doubt.
How strange is it, speaking of Florida State, somebody that was supposed to be a major contributor to Florida State's offense this year, wide receiver DJ Matthews. He'd sent a weird tweet, and then he took it down that he had tested positive to COVID-19 back in August. Well, today we get the news that he is now in the transfer portal, and he would be, as a graduate transfer, he would be eligible immediately.
He would, and he would, if he didn't want to play this year, he could waste it out this year and not lose a year of eligibility because of the freebie. So, yeah, it kind of goes back to the stuff from the offseason with that whole drama with Mike Norvell, about a month and a half ago, and then the part about the George Floyd thing, you know, 2-3 months ago, whenever that was. It kind of shows that maybe Mike Norvell hasn't gotten off to the best start. Maybe he has not figured out how to win over that locker room yet. But I think clearly that's going to be more of a challenge at Florida State than it will be at other schools. So, yeah, it is interesting to say the least. And I think it shows that maybe this year, any expectation for Florida State turning around is a little aggressive, and it might take 2 or 3 years. Even though they have the talent, they've got the roster, they've got the recruiting base, you've got to find guys that can buy in. And right now it doesn't appear that Mike Norvell has a lot of those guys.
Is that a team that has some – I mean, everybody thinks about Clemson, but how far back is Florida State, not only to Clemson, but there's North Carolina? I mean, look, Georgia Tech beat them in Tallahassee. I know it's unusual circumstances, but still, Georgia Tech beat them in Tallahassee on Saturday. How far down are we talking about Florida State when you think about the other teams, North Carolina, Miami, et cetera?
Yeah, I put them below Louisville, North Carolina, obviously Clemson, Pitt. You could put them behind there. Miami, I'd probably put them behind Miami right now. It's not great.
Virginia? Heck, I put them behind Virginia as well.
I put them behind Virginia Tech. I put them behind, obviously Notre Dame, the one-year deal, but yeah, they're lower to middle tier in the ACC.
How strange is that? The fact that we can say that, all those teams ahead of them in the ACC, and yet in basketball, in men's basketball, we're talking about top of the list ahead of Duke and North Carolina and everybody else in the ACC.
It's bizarre, man. It is utterly bizarre that we can flip the script this much at Florida State. But, you know, I think the positive is that Florida State basketball program is good. And I do think Florida State can get back to being competitive on the football field. Again, I just think the culture was so broken that it's going to take time. And Willie Taggart was not the guy to lead that. I think we all know that based on the way he organized that program. I think Mike Norvell is, but if after the first year, if you know, he looks like Willie Taggart did after 1 year, then maybe we're wrong. But it's going to be interesting to see how it pans out.
By the way, before we let you go, Pac-12, Big Ten, what is your gut telling you as far as when they start with week one of their college football season?
I don't think Pac-12 is going to play in the fall. I really don't think it's going to play in the spring either. I just, logistically, that's not going to happen. Big Ten, I don't know. It changes like every 5 minutes with me. I think they're going to try to play on August or October, what's that, Saturday, 17th or whatever it is, and try to get 8 games in. And then at that point, the college football playoff would have to determine where their threshold is for games played to be considered. Because as much as I think Ohio State can win the national championship, you can't include them in the playoff if they've, you know, played 6 games and had COVID, you know, contact tracing eliminate a couple. So I think they're going to play. And, man, how embarrassing just in general for that entire conference.
You know, it'd be a really cool thing. Maybe they should work it out where they play, you know, their champion plays the champion of the sixth Power Five conference team for the American Athletic. And maybe that could be some extra incentive there.
Maybe that would work. You know, that might be the case. But, you know, we have to be creative, you know, this time of year and through all these things. But it's going to be rushed. There's no doubt about it.
All right, do me a favor. Once again, remind everybody the best ways to keep up with your coverage of the college football season this year.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and there it's the lead. Download the CBS Sports app. Watch CBS Sports HQ 24/7, 365 for actual college football coverage. And, it's going to be an interesting few weeks, there's no doubt.
All right, appreciate you as always. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, buddy.